Dr. Artis Show fans. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis. Live with me today, you're going to be having an interview for this 22-minute segments with me and Michelle Peterson, who's been a, let's just say, hero for children, including her own. And you should know what she's out defending and what she's working on right now worldwide, particularly throughout the nation of the United States, but to help prevent and protect children worldwide from grooming, sex trafficking, you name it. There's so many topics in which she covers and defends and testifies on behalf of children in her state and those nationally. I want to give a summary of something I actually want to make sure the audiences know, because it's not a part of this podcast. I already produced a radio show at Looking for Healing Radio on the America Out Loud Network. Every Monday and Friday, I do a radio show for an hour. This morning's episode was all about a drug that CNN Health just actually published this week, an article on CNNHealth.com. They published that there is a blockbuster drug for weight loss and diabetes that's causing people to experience paralyzed stomachs for year to 2 years after coming off the drug, which leads to symptoms of cyclic vomiting. And in the article on CNN, they have four people they share from around the country who have lost everything, their jobs, their ability to make money, the ability to go to work and go to church, because they can't stop throwing up a year and a half after taking that drug. That drug, by the way, is made from Gila monster venom from a lizard out in Southwest American deserts called the Gila monster venom. That venom paralyzes the vagal nerve. It's a neurotoxin, and it actually suppresses your stomach's speed of emptying. This is why they say they can manage weight loss with this thing. When you can't empty your stomach, you'll vomit, which is why they're having cyclic vomiting. They're paralyzing the vagal nerve. And those venoms aren't coming out of the body for like 10 years. This is why it's taking so long for them to actually remove the symptoms. All right, so everybody be warned. The drugs are called Ozempic and Wegovy. Those drugs, if you take them for 1 year, they're injections, just like the COVID-19 vaccines. If you take them, they physically are published to cause a black box warning for every single known thyroid cancer to develop in a year or two. So please be warned. If you have any friends or loved ones on Ozempic or Wegovy, these drugs are all over mainstream media and social media. Tell them to get off of it and go learn from us here. We'll be right back after these messages.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Sabrina Whitehorse Barnett, you are watching Brighteon, the most amazing network. Follow me at Native Wisdom. Native Wisdom, take care. Bye.
SAT 123.
Welcome back to the Dr. Artis Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis, and we're here with Michelle Peterson, and we will continue this conversation. Oh my gosh, what a much needed story, reflection, and understanding on this aspect of what could be possibly happening to our children with the technologies that we are affording them. Welcome back to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artist. This 22-minute segment is going to be brought to you by the North Texas Healing Center. Go to northtexashealingcenter.com or call them at 214-705-9369 and have Dr. T and his associates help you find a pathway to healing. northtexashealingcenter.com. Also, mypillow.com. Use the promo code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, at checkout. It'll populate additional savings. They also do rev share with the show, thank goodness, so I can keep researching on your behalf at home and traveling to speak and engage and bring, hopefully, inspiration and hope to people around the world. BrighteonStore.com, Mike Adams' platform. I almost said Mike at the beginning. BrighteonStore.com. Use the promo code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, there to save 5% off anything you're selecting there. And you might want to start prepping. They're going to try to destroying all the food supply chains around the world. The next, in my opinion, thing they're going to try to orchestrate is obviously tainting, poisoning our food supply, and then restricting our food supply. You might as well start learning how to create your own and have your own. So BrighteonStore.com is a great resource. Then GraithCare.com. Go to GraithCare.com. Use the discount promotional code ARDIS, A-R-D-I-S. It'll take 10% off of anything, any reason you're there, for either a membership for advocacy, health coaching, learning how to reduce the amount of needs for drugs that you're being prescribed in your life. That's what those advocates at Great Care are for. There's also a AAA option, Artist Advocacy Advice, where you can physically get your documents to me to evaluate, and I create a 10 to 15 minute video consult on your behalf, telling you what I would do for the next 3 to 6 months to start restoring your health back to where it should be. All right, those are our sponsors for the show. It's time to get to our guest. All right, this is Michelle Peterson. Michelle Peterson, say hi to the audiences and tell them who in the world you are and what in the world you're up to.
Hello. Thank you for having me, first of all. I am a mom from just the Midwest in Illinois. Back in 2010, my son was being groomed by a male teacher at his high school. So I'm going to go ahead and play a video that will kind of explain a little bit more what happened, then we can go into further detail there.
NBC5 investigates. Imagine discovering that your teenager has been receiving thousands of text messages from a teacher, many sexually explicit, dozens in the middle of the night. You might believe your child would tell you if this happened, but as NBC5's Phil Rogers discovered, that's not always the case.
The story unfolded here in Morris, southwest of Chicago, as middle America as it comes.
He wanted to make a sex video, put it straight out there.
Andrew Kozik says he had begun texting Stefan Belegno, a teacher here at Morris High School, because he was having trouble on the baseball team. But before long, he says, Belegno was offering him money for oral sex.
It started off at $500 and then $1,000 and then $1,500.
But Andrew never told anyone, and no one knew until his mother heard him talking to Belegno on the phone.
He has no business calling you at 11 o'clock at night. That's completely inappropriate.
When she learned the two had been communicating by text message, Andrew's mother went to her computer and logged into the family's account. She found thousands of messages.
I was just sick because I knew in my heart, this isn't just regular text messaging.
The family went to police, who searched Andrew's phone and found nearly 6,000 messages between the two. But only about a tenth of those could be recovered. And indeed, they are troubling. You can't read some of the more graphic messages, but among the more benign, the teacher writes, "When does the kissing begin?" Icky, the student says. "How about if we just go at it and not video it?" the teacher declares. And on another occasion, "When you're 18, we can give each other everything."
Sometimes males to bond with males are crude.
Raymond Wigel is Belegno's lawyer. He insists the teacher was only trying to help Andrew through a bullying incident on the baseball team.
You say that these text messages do not indicate criminal activity. They certainly indicate stupidity for a teacher to be sending these messages.
Absolutely.
Wigel says he and his client concede bad judgment, but they point to the thousands of other texts no one read, as well as huge gaps in the transcripts.
There's a stupid intent, but there was not an evil intent to have sex with this young man.
I don't care what context you put it in. When you offer somebody money for sex, that's solicitation.
So why didn't Andrew tell someone? Records show at one point he even told a DCFS investigator the teacher's messages had not crossed the line.
Why'd you tell him?
I didn't want to lose his job. I didn't want to get in trouble.
Belegno was found guilty of indecent solicitation of a minor and unlawful grooming. He is to be sentenced next month.
I wouldn't have to register as a sex offender. The jail time would just be icing on the cake.
Michelle Peterson says she and her son wanted to talk to us to stress the importance of reporting incidents like this. 18 of these texts were after midnight, 15 after 3 a.m. The Grundy County State's Attorney says he believes it's a cautionary tale about giving children digital technology this Christmas without firm guidelines on how it will be used.
That kind of gives you a little oversight of what happened at the time.
Now, how many years ago was this?
So that was in 2010 that it initiated. So I overheard that conversation in October of 2010. And my husband and I had gotten back from a funeral late at night and knocked on my son's door to tell him goodnight. It was about 10:30 and he didn't answer. So I'm walking past the door back and forth, getting ready for work for the next day. And then I hear him start talking. And then I heard him say, you know, I'm busy. I don't know how often you want me to call you. You know, I'm taking a class at the college and working two jobs. He was, as a junior, was taking classes at a local college. And then I hear him say, well, I'll stop in your classroom tomorrow and I'll pick up those paintballs. So my heart just kind of sunk. I'm like, what? And so I knocked on the door and asked him who he was speaking to. And he said it was Coach Galegno. And I said, why is he calling you at 11 o'clock at night? That's completely inappropriate. I said, you need to hang up the phone. So he hung up the phone and I went straight down to the computer immediately. And I saw all of the phone numbers, messages back and forth, no verbiage, but the phone numbers. And it went all the way back to May of that year. So between May and October, there were over 6,000 messages that came through. Yeah.
This is a horrible story. And to kind of piggyback on the hot topic right now going on around America of this scene throughout cinemas all around this country, a movie called Sound of Freedom. I think this piggybacks on the same type of topic, right? Taking advantage of children, obviously. And kudos to those families who are taking their kids and their families to go make sure that they're exposed to Sound of Freedom and what's really going on in the world behind closed doors and between what you're seeing or being allowed to see during the day in your daily life. It's pretty disgusting, the amount of sex trafficking of children, solicitation of children that's going on all around the world since 2010. Tell us, since those interviews, what occurred? What happened to this guy? How is your son doing? Has everybody been able to healthily move on and recover and heal from this?
Yes. So in 2010, my son was 15 going on 16. And here's what I want people to know too, is that when somebody is grooming someone, it's unlawful grooming is what we're talking about. So that's where somebody is trying to get somebody to trust them to then do something nefarious to that person. So if you look at like the things that are going on right now, we get groomed all the time, you know, with commercials and things like that. You know, you see a hamburger on the TV, you want to go get a hamburger. That's grooming. But this is unlawful grooming. And not only do these guys groom their victims, they groom the entire community. So he groomed this entire school. So the day after I overheard that conversation, I took a stack of text messages, 3 weeks worth, was about a quarter inch thick, printed it off, went and talked to the principal the following day and told him what happened. And I could tell by the look on his face that he knew the same thing I knew, but he couldn't prove anything. And he's like, I just gave this guy a teacher's award 2 weeks ago because this guy was volunteering for everything. He's a single guy. He was coaching a sport he never played. If you ever watch like Criminal Minds, he was like the perfect unsub, right? So he lived with family. His parents had died when he was young. So it was like all of these things that are just kind of highlighting all of this, that this could be what's going on. So I asked the teacher or the principal at the time, you know, if he would be filling out or contacting DCFS to file a report. And after he met with my son and met with the teacher, they both denied that they were in it, there was any wrongdoing, no bad text messages at this point. And so he's like, well, I can't, but he's like, you're Andrew's mom. You can do whatever you want. If you want to file a DCFS investigation, you can file one. He said it to me 3 or 4 times in that conversation, kind of baiting me and saying, file one, right? Because he couldn't do anything. His hands were tied. He had no proof of anything. So this goes out.
Can you tell me what DCFS stands for?
Department of Children and Family Services. Okay, and that's here in Illinois. Yep.
Got it.
And so I actually wasn't going to church a whole lot at the time. Every time I'd go to a church, I couldn't feel like I was getting the message. It just didn't feel right to me every time I walked in. Christian. But the very first place I went to after this, after I met with the principal, was to the local Presbyterian church, which is how I grew up as Presbyterian. Met with the pastor there. And I said, you know, I'm not sure if what I'm seeing is correct or if what I'm feeling, it's my gut feeling. And he said, you still have to file this. You need to go after this guy. So, you know, you feel like you're going to ruin this person's life and you don't want to do that. I was also coaching softball at the high school at the same time. He was coaching baseball. And not only that, I'm a physical therapist and I was in his home treating a family member at the same time. And so I think he felt like I was too busy to pay attention to what was going on in my son's life. So I go in and after that, I come back and I talk to my son and he's still denying that there's any wrongdoing. Took a week and I went ahead and contacted DCFS and their investigator made me feel kind of awful for even contacting them. Felt like it was just benign text messaging. And yeah, so I handed her the stack of papers and she's like, oh, I'm like, yeah, that's just 3 weeks worth. This has been going on since May. And I said, I just have a feeling there's something not good going on here. And she said, well, we can't really go on a gut feeling. I said, no, but it's your job to do the investigation. That's why I called you. And kind of said, how dare you make me feel bad for calling you? And that's kind of what they do too. You know, I'm like, this isn't the worst thing that you're going through or ever seen, but this is the worst thing I'm going through at this time. So there's that little story too. And then kind of parents just kind of paying attention. My son, who never had a problem going to school, he wasn't wanting to go to school. He was having heart palpitations. I had taken him to a pediatric cardiologist because he was having 120 resting heart rate, which is probably anxiety. He didn't want to go to school. They kept telling me it was a vagus nerve issue, right? Drink more water, it'll help the vagus nerve, blah, blah, blah. Of course, that wasn't helping. So, you know, then it comes to like we keep going on and on, status hearing after status hearing. When our detective asked for a subpoena for the teacher's cell phone, it got denied from the state's attorney's office. Now, this all hinges on text messages, and they denied the cell phone subpoena. Now, when my son, I would take his phone all the time. I would check his text messages, see where he was going on apps, you know, and what he was looking at online all the time. Never saw one message because as soon as he'd get it in, he'd delete it. So I had to find somebody who could pull those deleted messages off the phone because they felt that they didn't have anybody that could do that. So found somebody who could do that. So I let my son have his phone for the weekend. And then late on a Sunday night, I told him, I said, hey, I need your phone because I found somebody who can get those messages off your phone. And his face just went green. And I'm like, is there something you need to tell me? He's like, I can't tell you. And he's like, I'll talk to the principal and the detective tomorrow morning. So he met with them the next day for 3 hours. And the principal comes out and says, he's going to talk to you. And we're going to open up our own DCFS investigation. And you were spot on with what you were thinking. And he goes, I'll be here the rest of the day. So just come back if you have any questions or need anything. So we turn his phone in. We come home. He tells me about making the video and that he would refer to his penis as my little guy. I'm never going to get to see the little guy, that sort of thing. Never once mentioned anything about the money. So I go back to meet the principal and ask me what he told me. And he's like, well, he didn't tell you the worst of it. He said that he actually offered him money for oral sex. I'm like, okay. So now we have a whole new ball game going on here. And so it took them at least 4 or 5 months to get the messages off the phone. They kept waiting on it and weren't getting the messages. So they ended up taking it to the state police here in Illinois. And they were trying to get the messages off. Well, I had a friend whose husband was a Secret Service agent. And so they hooked me up with another Secret Service agent who was in a pedophile task force. So for people who don't know, in Secret Service, they're not protecting the president or their family. They will help other jurisdictions in the area with different things. So I meet with this guy. He's like, they just want you to go away. I'm going to give you 2 business cards. You keep one for yourself. You give one to them and you tell them that they want the messages off that phone within 7 days. And if they don't have them off the phone, I will get them off the phone in about 15 minutes. And you're going to tell them you're going to turn it over to the feds. I'm like, all right. So I go in and do that the next day. And lo and behold, they had the messages in 3 days. So I think they were sitting on the messages this whole time because they really wanted us to just go away. And I end up going in this conference room and there's 2 assistant state's attorneys in there, one older guy, probably in his 70s, younger guy in his early 30s. And my husband and I are in there. So my husband is my son's stepdad. We go in there and they have a stack of messages, probably this thick, sitting in front of them. And the older guy says, well, we really don't have enough to go on. There's gaps in the transcript. We don't know if we can really do anything with this. Is there another kid? Is there somebody else that could corroborate the story? Goes on that way. I said, well, if you're not going to do anything with the messages, can I see them? And they both kind of look at each other like, well, they weren't expecting that, right? And this whole time, like we're almost a year into this and I've been completely like calm, cool, collected, complicit, following everything they want me to do. And so they let me read the messages, and everything's in that I told you about the money, the video, what he referred to as penis as, all of it's in there. And I'm flipping through these papers, slowly and methodically reading everything, and tears are just dripping from my face. Like, I just can't even stop it. So I pushed the messages back very slowly to them, and I lost it. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. We were in a conference room in the middle of the office, and I am yelling at the top of my lungs. And they were like, whoa. Like, they had just completely unleashed a beast inside of me. And I looked at the older guy. I'm like, you have grandkids. You're okay with this. And the younger guy, I'm like, you have young children. You're okay that this guy teaches your kids. And the older guy then again says, you know, if we just had another kid. I'm like, oh, one's not enough. I'm like, what's he have to do? Sodomize my child before you're going to do anything? And I was yelling so loud.
I would have too.
Pardon me?
I would have too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, it was righteous anger, right? And so my husband's kicking me on the table and telling me to calm down. And I start yelling at him, like, I'm going to kick you out that door. Telling me to calm down. Like, it was crazy. So then I said I wanted to meet with the actual state's attorney, because I hadn't, this whole time, a year into this, hadn't ever met with him. Well, he wasn't available, of course. So I call back the next day. I end up meet with him that afternoon. And one of the articles that he had put out when he first came there was that he wanted to protect the children and families of Grundy County. So I printed it off. I put it on his desk, and I tapped it. And I said, how about we start doing this? And he's like, well, I'm not really familiar with your case. And I said, well, it's been a year. You're still not familiar with my case? I said, this is a high school teacher here in town. So we are in the county seat. So the courthouse is right here in our town. And I said, I find that really hard to believe. And if you don't, then shame on you. And I said, I've heard that you don't have, you're not really involved and haven't really been active in a lot of cases that are going on here. I said, I know that the police are waiting on several subpoenas that they've asked for other cases that you have waited on that are well over a year old. So the detective calls me the next day and he said, what did you say to him? So I told him, he goes, we just got four subpoenas we've been waiting on for over 6 months. And I'm like, I'm glad I could help you guys with your cases, you know? Yeah, no kidding. No, and I felt like I was gonna have a target on my back, you know, cause you get afraid, right? To go up against the man, right? You're going up against the big guys there. And so you don't know what's gonna come down after that. Well, the school, because most people, you know, the schools aren't ever behind these victims, but the school was behind us 100%. The principal, he used to be a guidance counselor. And so he, when he did his interview with the teacher, he met with the superintendent, the teacher, and the union rep, and flat out asked him, did you ever have offer Andrew Kosick money for oral sex? Did you ever want to make a sex video? And did you ever refer to his penis as my little guy? And he said he put his head down, shook his head in affirmation, and said yes. Yes to all of it. Like, the union rep didn't even stop him from saying anything. I think they were also shocked at what was coming out of his mouth. And when I went down to the state's attorney's office, because after even like a year and a half, the principal's like, they never came and subpoenaed his personnel file. I keep telling him there's stuff in there that they're going to want to see. So go down to the state's attorney's office. I'm like, why haven't you got the personnel file? And he's like, well, what could possibly be in there that we need? I'm like, what skin is it off of your back? I'm like, just get it. So they get it. And then the attorneys at the school, knowing what I've been going through at the state's attorney's office, wouldn't release the files until I signed off on it. And they used the HIPAA law, saying my son was a minor and his name is all over this. So I was in there, I was able to read all of it. And I went straight down to the state's attorney's office. I said, if he is not arrested in the next 7 days, I'm going to have every major news station out here on your lawn. I mean, I was going toe to toe with this guy. He just wanted me to go away. And I threatened to take it to the actual Illinois state's attorney's office because they weren't doing anything. And then he says, well, why'd they let you see it? And I said, well, because of the HIPAA law. He goes, they didn't have to do that. I said, really, the honest truth is because they knew the fight that I'd had down here. And they knew that if I didn't see it then, that I'd probably never know what was in there because you would have never told me. And his face, he was so angry. But so.
All right. So a couple lessons here.
Yeah.
Speak to the audience in this last minute of this segment. Then we'll continue after the commercial break.
Okay.
I want you to speak to the audience about how important it is for parents to trust their gut feeling.
Oh, man.
And then to act on it without fear.
I met a sex trafficking investigator. She said it was the biggest thing that I did. She goes, go with your gut feeling and never take no for an answer. Keep fighting back and fight for your kids as hard as you can. She said that the parents that fight for their children, 79% of those kids end up being high productive members of society. And she said, if you don't fight for your children, they will never fight for themselves and they will not produce in the society. So those are the biggest lessons, she said, for people to take out of this.
Well, I'm sure for the audiences abroad, I want everybody globally. I mean, how big of a deal do you think grooming is? Michelle Peterson. And how many parents do you think wonder every time their kid flicks off their phone, is maybe possibly deleting messages, who's conversing with them, or maybe I shouldn't look at my kid's phone or their computers because it's their privacy rights. Speak to that.
Nope. I always told my son, I said, until you can pay for your own phone bill, that's my phone. So I will be able to look at everything that's on there. And I did. I took it all the time, which is why he deleted the messages, because I took it all the time. The two lessons I learned from this is, don't let your kids take their phones to bed with them at night, because if I had his phone in my bedroom, I would have seen those messages coming in at night. And the other one is making sure, at least now, back then, there was no, this technology didn't exist. But my brother uses this now with his kids. There's a technology called Bark. And you can put an app on your phone and on your kid's phone. So every message that goes in and out on their phone comes in on your phone, so you can see everything. Awesome. And if you don't want to see all of these messages, like, oh, hey, your hair looked nice today, right? You can actually set it up for different keywords. So you can put body parts in there. You can put cuss words in there, those types of keywords. And then those messages will come into your phone.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to infringe on your kid's privacy, because once they lose all of that and they lose, you know, all of their innocence, like, you can never get that back.
Ever. I just want to convey to the audience that thanks for reinforcing that, just how important it is. I say this nonstop, no matter what I'm presenting, what anybody else is presenting to you, and no matter what the mainstream media is presenting to you, you need to first research it yourself and then trust your gut. It doesn't matter what the topic is. You need to go look into it yourself and trust your gut. Finally, that should be the definitive moment. Whether you want to do that on your knees, you want to do that in meditation, you want to just sit there and see how do you feel, or you're getting an immediate pushback feeling from an individual or a topic, you probably know it's negative and you should probably go away from it. So always, I consistently try to tell people to trust yourself and your own intuition. I think God gave it to you so you would know how to protect people who otherwise don't know how to protect themselves. Entire last 4 years, everything I've uncovered, documented, continued to bring to the forefront, I didn't know anything about these topics. I just had a hunch and a gut feeling to go look at this stuff. And then I'd wake up with impressions in the middle of the night, go research stuff on the computer, what I was being downloaded or being shown, or the impressions I was having, I would just go research it. And oh my God, it was real. And it was true. And then I would bring it forward to the world so you guys knew what was really going on. And until I could actually surmise it for myself enough, or summarize it enough for myself to be able to articulate it back to you, I would often spend months at a time researching topics before I brought it out to the world. Mm-hmm. So this is just a message I wanted to convey, and thank you for reinforcing that. That's what I keep hearing over and over in this first part of this interview is, man, I wish more people and parents would trust their gut, because you don't need to be relying on other people to give you all the answers in your life. Right. You are inspired. You have the Spirit of the Lord inside of you. And you have this connection to God and the universe that you can actually be given information to know how to better protect you and your loved ones at home. All right, Michelle, we'll be right back after these messages. Thank you very much.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard-won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at RightEonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at RightEonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, RightEon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RightEonStore.com today.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. RightEonStore.com.
At the Brighteon Store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. we have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Artis Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis, and we're here with Michelle Peterson, and we will continue this conversation. Oh my gosh, what a much needed story, reflection, and understanding on this aspect of what could be possibly happening to our children with the technologies that we are affording them, giving them. Every parent should be warned on this topic of grooming for sure, and can all learn on how to be a better parent. I believe the type of parent Michelle's been for her son is exactly the kind of parent I've been. I could sit here for hours and talk about my defense of my children in schools and in courts nonstop over the last 22 years. I'm the wrong dad to mess with, and I'm not joking, and Michelle's the wrong mama to mess with. All right, this segment is going to be brought to you by KirkElliottPhD.com. I don't know if you've heard, but Chase Bank, JP Morgan Chase, is starting to close accounts on certain people like Joseph Mercola. Dr. Mercola, they froze all of his accounts. He can't have access to his monies. Kirk Elliott, PhD, to navigate the financial crises around the world they're trying to create. I would go there and recommend them. That's who I consult with and who helps me and my family. And then I recommend go to h2bev.com. Every day, I start every day with a hydro shot drink, which is nitric oxide infused with hydrogen. Provides me with energy for an 8-hour period. Love it. And then number three would be growmaxwaterhydro.com. I just got my towers that they shipped to me, which is exciting. We plant flowers all over our yards. Michelle may have been in my house. I'm not sure. Maybe she was here. Have you been at my party at our house we had here?
No, okay. Not yet.
We had like 100 people here last Christmas. It was exciting. Okay. Just wanted to be sure. But in our house, we have a ton of flowers and plants we constantly have put in by landscapers. And I wanted a watering filtering system for my city water that feeds the yards. And so we got Growmax Water Hydro just introduced this new tower that filters out all fluorides, chlorines, pesticides, herbicides in your water and chlorine so that our plants can be more vibrant and more organic. And we're very excited about that. So that just came in this week. My plumber guy's coming in tomorrow morning to install it. Go to Growmax Water Hydro to learn more about their products. Their products are about filtering your water from your hose to all of your organic farms and plants you're trying to grow at home. So you might as well not be putting in the crap you're trying to keep out by feeding the water onto those plants that has the same chemicals in it you're trying to avoid and make you have an organic garden. So Growmax Water Hydro is where I'd go. And then I'll just give a shout out to this. The last sponsor is healingfortheages.com. That's my conference coming up September 8th and 9th in Dallas. Go to healingfortheages.com to learn more about what it is I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And we're very excited that if you want to attend in person, tickets are there. Virtual is what we expect most people around the world will participate in. Go to healingfortheages.com to learn more. All right, we got to continue this conversation with Michelle Peterson. Let's bring her back on. All right, Michelle, let's continue the conversation here. Continue to educate my audiences on your story and then what you've been working on nationally, maybe even internationally by now, but what it is you're working on to help protect children all around the country.
Okay, so where we left off is I told him that he needed to, you know, arrest this guy within 7 days. And so he waits the full 7 days, gets him arrested, indicts him. And
what was your emotional experience every day for 7 days waiting for him to get arrested?
Oh, it was horrible. Like you're just waiting for the shoe to drop, right? And just, is he going to do this? Is he not going to do this? If he doesn't do it, what am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, because I was going to contact all the media around here and that's what I would have done. So it was horrible, you know, and I was leaning on all my friends and my family, and it's all you can think about, you know, this is all we thought about for 3 years. And every day you wake up with this and like, what's going to happen? And, you know, I'm worried about my son and worried about if he's going to do something to himself, you know, and we had those conversations, tough conversations with a 16-year-old that suicide isn't an answer. And that if this guy should end up doing something to himself, that it's not his fault. And trying to even get my son to come forward, my son, I always say he had the right kid, he had the wrong family, because my son is very kind-hearted. He's extremely brilliant, but will do anything for anybody. And I actually did the same thing to him that the teacher did. I pulled on his heartstrings about coming forward, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to do this or not. I said, well, I'm going to send you to bed, and I want you to think about this. I said, there's three boys that live across the street and four that live down the street. And if you do nothing and something happens to one of those kids, how do you face their parents? I said, God put this in our laps for a reason, because he knew we'd take care of it. And I said, if people would have taken care of it before us, we wouldn't be going through this, because you're not the first with what he was texting you. And he goes to bed that night. I didn't sleep hardly at all that night. I was up and down checking on him the whole time, you know. And so he comes down the next morning. He's like, I'm not doing it for you, and I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the family across the street and the family down the street. I'm like, all right, let's go. So that's how we started. Yeah. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, so how did you feel about God and, you know, being mad at God that this happened to you guys? And like, I sat there and I'm like, no one's ever asked me that question. And I've never thought that. Not once did I ever think that. Like, I was always like, God gave us this and we got to fix it. Yeah, like, it was like an eye opener. Cause I'm like, all the time I've talked about this, no one's ever asked me that, but I was never mad at God.
That's awesome. Yep.
Yeah. It was so cool to even like come to that realization with somebody asking me that. But his hand though was all over this. So I'm going to tell you, this state's attorney that was in there was dragging his feet, and we ended up getting in another state's attorney. So this started in 2010, January of 2013, we get a new state's attorney in. Our detective said to him, you know, there's one case you really need to work on because it's been going on forever. And it was our case. So he meets with us and with my son, because my son now is 18 at this point, going to be 19 that June. And he says, you know, I think we're gonna have to take a plea deal. This has been dragging out there so long. I don't know that we're going to be able to prove anything at this point. And if we have to get more data, like from his phone or his computer, is probably gone already. And so we're like, okay, so if he ends up taking a plea deal, we get no, he doesn't have to register as a sex offender. He'll probably still be able to teach. It'll just be some fines and a slap on the hand, essentially. So we go to trial in June of 2013. He's going to take a plea deal. He decides that day he was going to take it to trial. He was that smug that thought he could beat this, and he's going to take it to trial. Now we have three state's attorneys here in Grundy County, and the judge that we had, or I'm sorry, we had three judges, and the judge that we had was the only Republican judge, and he lit this guy up. He was so mad and lit up the attorney about dragging us through the mud with all of this. So he ends up not only wants to take it to trial, but he wants to take a bench trial. So it's the same judge that's going to do the bench trial who just lit him up. I'm like, okay. So then the following month, that's when all the new laws come out in Illinois, is in June. And so we now have a charge of grooming in the state of Illinois. So had this gone to trial anytime before that, there was no charge of grooming. So we get this state's attorney, and he gives me assistant state's attorney who's going to be trying our case. And he said, look, there's this new charge of grooming, everything that's happened, you guys, we're going to go for that charge, but there's no precedent set for this. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. Right. So we go to trial. We get a grooming conviction. So we have the first and to date, the only standalone grooming conviction in the United States, solicitation of a minor. Now, that's a problem after 9 years that that's the only standalone grooming conviction, right? So now what's the problem there? So in January of this year, again, God's hand is all over this. I could have met this sex trafficking investigator 5 years ago and it wouldn't have meant a whole lot. I meet her January of this year, right before Sound of Freedom comes out. Met her at the Reawaken event in Tennessee. Her name is Amy Coelho. And she starts telling me about some of these cases she's busted. She was a lead investigator on a case out of California, is the Luis Domundo case. They busted 123 different sex trafficking cells between California and Mexico. And it was cartel, I think. And then she told me that one of the other clients they had was a Larry Nassar gymnast out of Michigan State. So Larry Nassar was the chiropractor that was abusing the gymnast out of Michigan State. And so she's telling me about a couple other high profile cases she's working on. So I'm like, well, I'm going to tell her about my measly little case here. So she grabs my arm as I'm telling the story, and she goes, hold on, are you from Illinois? And I said, yes. And she said, when was that? I said, 2013, 2014. And she's like, she gets tears in her. She goes, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm meeting you. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I need to get a picture with you and send it to my team. So then she proceeds to tell me that because we have the only case, grooming conviction case in the United States, they use our case for every trafficking case that they bust. That's incredible. Every single one. Isn't it amazing? Awesome.
That is incredible.
I was a hot mess. And so she's telling me all of this. And so then I tell her about really how awful it was the whole 3 years. And she's like, I'm going to tell you right now. She goes, your tenacity and your son's willingness to come forward, she said, you have saved thousands of lives. That's I was phenomenal. Like, what? Like, you don't think like the worst time in your life, what the devil was going to use for bad is God's now using for good. And that's like the biggest message too, is don't ever doubt our Father, because he is going to make things so good and so right and turn things around. And that's exactly what happened. I did ask her though, a couple days later, I said, so if everyone is using this case, I said, could they have possibly used this for the Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein trials? She goes, I don't know for sure. I'd have to look at it. She goes, but I don't know what else they would have used. What? I'm like, seriously? Like, that's even a possibility that could have been used for that. Like, it's just
phenomenal.
It just floored me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, 9 years of you wondering, where is this going and is it having any impact? You had no idea right. There were people using your case
and
the conviction to support busting up sex trafficking rings that cartels possibly are orchestrating all around the world. That's
and
incredible.
I never for once thought anything when I told my son that it set precedent. I never for once ever thought trafficking, right? I just thought grooming, like they'll use this for the grooming cases. Trafficking never even entered my mind. But this was the gut punch Amy told me. She said, if he would have gotten his hands on your son, she said he wouldn't have kept him for himself. He would have trafficked him. If not, you know, out of state, definitely in their little group that they have, you know, she's like, he would have trafficked him for sure. Nice. So I'm like, awesome. Yeah. So it's just amazing what God did and how he worked on this whole thing and the timing of it all. So then Amy says, well, you know, what we really need to do is get a bill passed in all 50 states where if somebody is charged with grooming, that they can't take a plea deal. So she was telling me about a case they had. She's in Texas. So she's a paralegal as well. She works with an attorney in Texas. And they had a 16-year-old girl had the groomers locked up, the guy and his mom. And they ended up taking a plea deal. They got out, took the 16-year-old girl, and they haven't seen her in a year and a half. She goes, if we could have locked him up at grooming, we would have had more time to get her and save her. So that's the one thing that we're working on now together. And the other thing that we want to do is we want to get it from a Class 4 or a Class D felony down to a Class 2 or a Class B felony. So there's actually some prison time associated. So the teacher in our case, he did 30 days in jail. Which was supposed to be 60, but they get day for day good behavior. And he only had to register as a sex offender for 10 years. So this is the 10th year. And he can no longer teach though, which was the main goal of this, and paid some fines, like $2,500 in fines. So with here in Illinois, if we have a Class 2 felony, they would actually have a minimum of 5 years prison time up to 25 years. So that's what we're trying to do too. Even if we can't get it to where they can't take a plea deal, I keep getting told that that's not constitutional, but nowhere in the Constitution do I find where it says you can't take a plea deal on something. So I'm going to keep fighting on this. And I mean, if these people haven't learned anything, I don't take no for an answer very well. So I'm going to try to keep fighting on this. And I actually have a rep out of Kansas, Missouri, Arizona, Iowa, possibly, and then here in Illinois that are willing to take this to committee. We have a Freedom Caucus here in Illinois, and my rep for our district is willing to get behind this with part of the Freedom Caucus. And they invited me to Springfield, to our Capitol in October, to speak to the rest of the Freedom Caucus about this bill. So that's what I'm trying to do now, is get this bill passed into law. So
that's awesome. All right. Yes. So is there any, do you have an organization or a website that people can support you or follow you or know how to help assist in trying to get these bills passed all around the country? What kind of initiatives have you guys set?
I do not have a website yet. We're working on that. I do have an email that's set up for this. So it's patriots with an S, unite76@protonmail.com. So anybody can send me emails there. If they have a rep that they know that would get behind this 100%, I could send them the bill. We have a group of us, about 7 or 8 of us. We split up the country and we're calling different reps in different states to see who would get behind the bill. So if you know anybody in Texas, Dr. Artis, that would get behind the bill, let me know. And we'll go after that rep and see if they will sponsor the bill.
Now, even a rep, can it just be a senator?
It can be a senator.
Okay, yep. Good. All right.
Because they can start in the Senate as well.
Well, you've got some connections for those.
Perfect. And as far as my son goes, so my son is now 29 and he ended up going into the Marine Corps. So he served 5.5 years in the Marine Corps and was an intel specialist. He's a linguist, so he speaks Russian and Spanish fluently. And he's working at a military boarding school right now. And he wants to start putting this, what happened to him and the information into the orientation for the kids there so that they understand the importance of, you know, not texting just anybody and getting a hold of an adult and watching what they're doing online with these gaming systems and being on the internet and social media and not giving out too much information. So he's finally, I think he's seeing like what I'm doing now, that he feels that he can finally do some of this. And he told me straight up that he would have never told me had I not overheard that conversation because he was too embarrassed. And we have a very close relationship. I would have never thought in a million years that he wouldn't have told me. So the one thing though, last year, in February of last year, somebody told him about the Netflix show Cheer, which takes place in Texas, right, with the Navarro Cheer team. And there was a guy on there who actually ended up forming a relationship online with two boys that were just fans of the show. And he ended up molesting these two boys at a cheer competition here in Illinois. And he ended up getting convicted and he's doing prison time now. But somebody told my son, hey, you need to watch this episode. And so he did. And he actually reached out to the attorney of the two boys and the mom. And the two boys were brothers and wrote them a letter and asked the attorney to get the letter to them. So I'd like to read just a portion of the letter because it was the first chance that I had to really see how he felt about me at the time. Like I said, our house was a hot mess at the time and he wanted this to just go away. He didn't want me to do anything about it. He thought once I knew that it would just stop, but I kept telling him, you know, we have to take care of this because it's not about you. It's about the next kid. What if that next kid needs the money? You didn't need the money, but what if they do? You know, I'm like, you have to protect the next person. So he writes this letter to the two boys. And this is about the middle of the letter. And he says, my reason for writing this letter is that I wanted to offer encouragement and knowledge of what lays ahead. I do not want to sugarcoat it. It will be tough. It will be the toughest thing you ever do in your lives. And I say that as someone who ended up becoming a United States Marine. Boot camp was not nearly as tough as the decision to come forward and face fear as you already have, as you will continue to do. That being said, I do not want to discourage you from continuing this battle because it will be the most gratifying thing you will ever do in your lives as well. You will not see that now, but you will realize this as you get older. Lean on your mom for strength and encouragement and just know that she always has your best interest at heart, no matter what you may think. While the abuse happened to you, the abuse happens to everyone that surrounds you as well. No matter how far your friends and family are, they will always support you in this decision because it is the most selfless thing you could possibly do for people you have never met.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The whole letter is just an amazing letter, but it took me about 5 or 6 times to read this where I could actually read it without breaking down and crying.
I was about to say, I bet you cried the whole time.
Oh yeah. And then he wrote a letter to the mom too. And that letter, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unbelievable. When I see you again, I'll share the letters with you so you can read it. But
I would love to.
My son is just, he's an incredible kid. And I'm just so glad that I did listen to my gut and then I fought for him. And, you know, there are people that didn't want to fight for him. They like, just let it go away. It'll be fine. You know, and my son spiraled out of control, even though we took care of this, you know, he went back to school in New Jersey and he was drinking too much and just really spiraling out of control because he felt guilty. He felt like he cost this guy his whole career, his life, everything, because that's what these groomers do. They really pull on these kids' heartstrings and make them feel bad for them. And yep. And it's awful.
That's what psychopaths do.
Yep. And my son, like I said, he's very smart. So when I had him in counseling in high school, I had to go to the counselor. He discharged him after 6 weeks. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I think he's fine. I'm like, he's not fine. I said, and I mean, no disrespect to you. I said, but even at 16 years old, he's smarter than you. He's playing you. He's telling you everything you want to hear so that you'll discharge him. He doesn't want to be here. You know, and
he doesn't
want
to talk about this at all with anybody.
Nope. And thank God for the Marine Corps because, you know, there were some things that happened there. He ended up having to go to counseling. And I pretty much told him, I said, listen, you can continue to spiral out of control and everybody like, oh, poor Andrew, you know, this poor thing happened to him. And, you know, that's why his life is such a mess. I said, or you can actually use it as a springboard and push forward and become the person that I know that you can become because you're better than this. And if you do the other thing and keep spiraling out of control, he wins. He ultimately wins in this whole thing. And he doesn't win, Andrew. Like, you're smarter, you're better, you have more to offer this life than that. So use it and go forward. And thank God the counselor he had in the military saw right through all of it. And she really helped him. And so he actually used it and is doing much better now. So that's the other thing too, is this is happening to you. Make sure you get some good mental health. Make sure you are talking to counselors who can actually walk you through this. And if you can't find a good one, because a lot of them seem to be woke at this point, go to somebody who is a Christian counselor and they will help you get through this.
Yeah, those are great recommendations.
Yeah.
We only have about 2 minutes left in this interview, but I want to ask you a question. There's probably many, many parents and grandparents who, there's going to be many of them watching this, but I want around the world, let's give them a quick review. Maybe if you know this, do you know current statistics of grooming occurring with teenagers, adolescents? Like, what scale are we really looking at? And it's because I'm sure there's a lot of parents going, man, I'm sure I'm glad this is never going to happen to my kids. I'm sure this is never going to happen to my grandkids. That's too bad that happened in Illinois. I'm sure it's just very rare. You think this is a common occurrence?
And
why in the world is this such a big problem? There's parts of my brain that does not compute how a human being does this with children. And like, there's plenty of people older than 18 you can go target. Why are you picking on kids? I don't get it.
Because they're
try to give some relevance for people here on statistics, if you know any, or books they can learn or read or study to get more acclimated with the steps an individual should take to protect their children, and then what to do after that if they think there is a challenge, right? Speak to the parents about that. You've already shared your story, but if you were suspicious there's grooming occurring, who's the first person you're going to go to? Like, these people want to know. Like, they're not going to know what to do. They're going to follow your lead, maybe, but they're not going to know to call the state attorney's office right out the bat. How did you, you told your story of how you got there, but where would be the first places you would go, and what kind of references should you share?
First place I would go is to the police and file a report. And that's what we did too. After I went and met with the principal, I did go down and file a report just to get something on record. And again, they had no proof at that point. So I don't know current statistics because they don't keep track of a lot of these statistics. Sure, and people don't even realize they're being groomed half the time, you know? And so that's, I think that's part of the problem. But I was actually just watching something today with Moms for America, and they had somebody on there with a corporation called Enough is Enough. And you can go to enoughisenough.org, and they have all kinds of information on there about how to pick up on what's going on, how to see what a groomer is, and gives you all the definitions, talks about trafficking and what will happen once they groom your child and they start trafficking them. There's so much information on there. I just was able to look at it for about 10 minutes today after I listened to that interview, but a lot of information on there. So that's one place they could go. And then you can go to Operation Underground Railroad. I'm like, there's a lot of information on there, and that's Tim Ballard's organization. So Operation Underground Railroad, tons of information on there on trafficking, how to spot a predator, all of those sorts of things.
That's awesome.
And I think one of the other things too is if you realize that this is happening to your kid, don't just brush it under the rug. Fight. There was something General Flynn told me. He's like, you want to fight like you are the third monkey trying to get on Noah's Ark, right? So fight as hard as you can. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Cute. That's cute.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. So fight for your kids. But those are the biggest things is, the statistics are, I don't think they have them because.
Yeah, I doubt they do.
Yeah. We don't even have grooming convictions. I mean, this is a problem. You know, we don't getting groomed.
Yeah, I just wondered if you knew any statistics, or even if they just thought or theorized, we think it's about this much is probably occurring, but if they don't know, that's fine. I'm sure there's no way to conclusively give us numbers on that. But
I mean, molestation,
raping of children, sex trafficking of children is on a scale you wouldn't believe going on in the world right now. And every child is threatened on every street in America. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if trafficking is a $152 billion a year industry, just imagine what the grooming is. Right?
It's disgusting. It's
got to be probably at least 4 or 5 times that number of kids because they're trying to get to them. And that's how they do it, is grooming them, you know? And it's just maddening. And I think too, like you hear in that movie that you can sell a drug once, but you can sell a kid, you know, 10 to 15 times a day.
It's disgusting. Well, Michelle, the whole purpose of this show I created it to try to prevent harm and injury from coming to unsuspecting, innocent human beings all around the world in hospitals first with the COVID-19 protocols, right? Then it is, well, we've got to protect all of you from the vaccine agenda they're about to release on all of you. This is another example of us trying to bring information to you that's relevant to try to protect the life, the spirit, and the minds of your children for the rest of their life. And if you ignore that this is a reality of deception and what is being orchestrated through your cell phones to your children, possibly, or in your classrooms with your kids without you being there, you have to pay attention to your children, and you should be talking to your children, and you should be taking these steps like this BART communication software program you mentioned to keep track of what's being communicated through those cell phones. You only have your kids' life once. You brought them into this world to protect them. Now act like it. I mean, this is the whole reason why I never vaccinated my kids in the last 22 years. I went and researched and studied, what do vaccines do? How effective are they? What's the risk to benefit ratio? 22 years ago, when I was a brand new parent, I didn't know anything. Within 6 months, I knew I was never going to vaccinate any of my children. So I never have. And oh my God, none of them have ever had asthma, allergies, double ear infections, never had illnesses. This has just been my life for the last 22 years. And then steps every year to make sure no school, no government agency told me my kids had to be vaccinated or to go to public schools. And they've been in public schools and universities this whole time. But I've had to take that action to make sure they were protected from what could have been the inevitable toxicity or disease outcome of a toxic vaccine. And I didn't want that reaction from my kids. And I don't want any kids in this world being groomed sexually by any adult. Neither do you, Michelle. So kudos to you, and I'm very proud of you for having the tenacity to protect your own children. It's odd to me that more parents don't do that or behave that way, but hopefully they will, and they'll be motivated and inspired by people like you. Are we going to see you in Las Vegas at the Reawaken Tour?
Yes, I will be there.
All right, we'll be there. Come join us August 25th in Las Vegas. It's going to be hot, but there's going to be some cool people there to hang out with that are trying to save lives around the world. Michelle, thanks for joining us, and God bless everybody at home. Any last words to the audience?
No, thank you, and God is good. Yeah.
God is very good. Well, God bless you and your son. I'm very proud of him and what he's accomplished and what he's standing for now on behalf of others as a light and a hero and an example to them. Yes. That's awesome to have somebody like them in their life. So very proud of you guys. All right. God bless you, Michelle Peterson. I'm Dr. Artis. This is Dr. Artis Show. We're out.